Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hello again. Welcome to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess. I'm here with Noah Chant.
Wow, that was amazing.
Right into it.
You're getting really good at those.
Listen, we've got no time to waste, man.
You are just killing the introductions.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm trying to fix this. Doing well. Doing really well. Yeah. Sorry.
These mics are a little.
Just a sec. There we go.
There you go.
That's better. Better to see you with.
Yeah. How's your week?
Good. And good overall. Kind of sad. My son made his move over into his bedroom.
Did he?
Yeah, into his crib, which is great. Been great for him and horrible for us. It's just sad when your kids get older. I know it's like it's only weird because he's only 3 months old, but right. You know,
yeah,
he actually turned 11 weeks today. But it's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird not having like his presence in your. You know, he had a little bassinet by our bed.
Right.
And so it's just weird him being like across the house.
Yeah.
You know, alone.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that was of all the things that we had like on our checklist for when we bought a house. The only one that wasn't on that we didn't actually get in this house is we wanted our kids' bedrooms to be on the same level as ours.
Yeah.
Just because it's a little bit more annoying. To go all the way upstairs. You come, you know.
For sure. Yeah, it's a lot. So, it is. It's just weird too because like you're in a panic and you're sad that he's not here, and then you look over and you turn the monitor on, and he's like, he's passed out like a light, like he doesn't care.
Yeah,
but it's been like really just weird. Mm-hmm. It's been weird having our room back. We're very big about like we had like kind of a routine before, obviously Benjamin.
Right.
So it's weird, like not like kind of creeping into your bedroom mm-hmm. with it dark and.
Yeah,
you can sliding
have the TV
bed.
On.
You can TV's on. You're whatever. Brushing your teeth.
Yep.
So, but yeah, other than that, everything's been great. My kid's basically 18 now. So, but other than that, everything's good.
Right. Does he have a job yet?
Yeah, that's how it feels.
Yeah. All right. Well, so for this episode, let's spend some time just kind of conversing about what you spoke on yesterday.
Yeah, being a house. So we've gone through this series, obviously, on if someone were to look in or people were to examine our family, who would they say that we are? We started with a company of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on to a house of worship.
Right.
Equip Sons will be the third one, and then Foundationally Family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we undervalue what worship does to us. In the unseen.
Sure.
I think is kind of where my starting place is always, my thought process has always started with that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's like a normal line of thought for most people mm-hmm. with regard to worship,
mm-hmm.
because worship in a sense, of course, is very much about the Lord.
Yeah.
We worship him because of who he is.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity to thank him and to praise him and to pour
right.
our adoration upon him,
yes.
to him for what he's done.
Right.
But, and so I think that's a very normal way to think about it. But I wonder how often people think about, like you said, like what is actually happening to and in us
yeah.
in that process.
Internally. Right. Yeah. And it's because like, even if you look at, and I, you know, it's an example as old as time used, but, all David is doing is playing his harp and worshiping.
Yeah.
And Saul's like freed from the demonic, you know, no prayer, no holy water, no Latin, like
yeah.
no nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying those are bad things, but like, you know, there's a reality of there's something about being in the atmosphere of worship that actually frees people from things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even like, if you were to look at a place like a Bethel or different types of churches that believe in healing, I find you hear more stories about, I was in service, in worship, and I realized like this tumor was gone.
Yeah.
And this thing shrank, or mm-hmm. my knee was no longer metal, like I could feel my leg, or, you know, whatever it is. And so like there's something about the atmosphere of worship that does something in the unseen realm to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, genetically, our makeup, our soul, that I think even grows when we do it corporately.
Interesting.
I think there is something greater about, like, and obviously, you know, this is another, there's only so many stories in the Bible you can get into before you're using old ones. But at the end of the day, the Lord could have told Joshua to march around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he didn't, like he told Israel.
Right.
He told the nation
yeah,
to walk around the walls.
Right.
And worship and praise and play the harps and blow the horns. And there's something about what happens in the atmosphere in a corporate aspect of a community or a kingdom family in worship together that is something that does something different.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that, you know, we always talk about, you know, the Lord's always with you, his presence, which is true, but like, obviously there is his presence and then there's his manifest presence.
Right.
There's his omnipresence and his manifest presence. And we've right. talked about this.
Yeah.
But there's something to the degree of his manifest presence that happens that I find only happens predominantly corporately.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. different than what I would find in my room
right.
of the manifest presence.
Yeah.
Because I find like personal manifestations of presence are about an encounter for me specifically in what I am and doing. And there's something about the corporate where there's this kingdom of heaven nature to it that anyone that walks into it kind of gets what they need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like an atmospheric change.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I agree. And I think that I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, that there seemed to be in my own like personal time, just in the secret place, just spending time in prayer and worship, whatever that looks like, that yeah. as I've kind of looked back over the years, there have been kind of ebbs and flows where like there were seasons where the like the presence was there very heavily.
Right.
And there have been seasons where I'm still, you know, I'm still present and actively engaged, but I don't feel the presence, you know. I find that kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But I think in my experience that when there are like corporately, when there are people, a group of people gathered together for the purpose of worshiping, I can always enter into the presence and find the manifest presence there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like yeah. I don't always find that right. by myself.
Right.
But, and I know like I drum and so that's a little bit different because my, sure. my head isn't fully, you know, fully right. there.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when I'm
young Phil Collins, what you've been known as.
But when I'm there, not participating with the band, but I'm actually there to worship. Mm-hmm. I can find the manifest presence mm. whenever I want to.
Right.
And there's something about that corporate, you're right, that yes. corporate gathering where that, it's just like, he's
just
there.
Different.
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
And the hard part is with the corporate gathering of worship predominantly is, and this is what people, this is where it can move out of its places too, is where we allow the spirit to be the spirit without having to overly engage our emotion and the emotional like factors yes. of our brain.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because normally what people are looking for in that, not you, but like, I think what a lot of people are looking for in that is I need to like cry.
Right.
I need to feel like the kick drum.
Yes.
I need to be like, and it's hard.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, you grow up Pentecostal, you grow up in the movement we do. And
yeah,
and I don't think emotions are a bad thing, but if emotion's what I need to engage in presence, then it becomes perverted.
Right.
But there is something about the ability to say, yeah, like when I'm alone, I don't feel this, but there's something about walking into a room of a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where two or three are gathered together. He is in the midst. It's this idea of like,
yeah.
man, there's something else here. And I think it even ties in like to this idea that if we're all called to carry the kingdom of God everywhere we are, and we're all called to be the kingdom of God, and we're all called to be the image bearers,
mm-hmm.
what happens when a group of them get together and make like the kingdom?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what happens when all of us are the pieces of this puzzle that unite it together,
mm-hmm.
see something different, you know? And like the hope would be that somebody would walk in the door at Be Love and change in the room, not because of something we had to say, but because of the presence mm-hmm. that is radiating in the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, it is the goodness and kindness of the Lord that leads people to repentance mm-hmm. and brings people in. And like that can be radiated out of ourselves through worship as much as it can be through a great message mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. the way we, you know what I mean? And there's something about what happens when all these puzzle pieces of family come together that are individual pieces of the kingdom and go like, oh, we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one corporate thing here.
Yeah.
It's just different.
It is different.
It's shown throughout the whole, all the scriptures, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you saying that, and it even reminds me, and this is different, but it reminds me of when, you know, Jesus says, greater things will you do.
Yeah.
I think that applies on two fronts. I think there's an individual, you know, an individual call to, as individuals, to each do great things.
Yeah.
I think that we're all capable of miracles and, you know, yep. and healing and seeing all those things. But I think what Jesus was also implying was that, like, I'm going to go and the Spirit's going to come. And when the Spirit comes, you will all corporately be able to do, like individually, you'll do what I get to do, but yes. corporately, you'll do what I couldn't do.
Right.
Because Jesus was one man when he was on the earth.
Right.
One man in one spot at one time.
Yeah.
But his vision was that there'd be millions of him.
Right.
Millions of people who are embodying
right.
who he was doing.
And it's this puzzle.
And it is. Yeah.
Fits yep. together, you know what I mean? And creates something.
Yeah.
Corporately, that is just bigger. It's a blanket
it is.
Of what Christ is, you yeah. know?
And I think you're right. I think that applies to worship too.
Yeah.
Because I think we're capable of experiencing great, great, incredible times with the Lord individually.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's just something different about there coming
is.
Together.
There is. And there's something different for, there's something that it does to us that we cannot like, calculate or give words to or equate or like there's mm-hmm. it does something to right. us that makes us different. You know, the only way it's like, you know, in The Chosen, when I love when Mary says, like, I was one way and then when I met him, now I'm another.
Right.
And there's something about corporate worship that does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we started, I talked a bit about epigenetics. Mm-hmm. And I think this plays such a role. And Damon Thompson was the first person to talk about epigenetics. I don't want people to think I'm smarter than I am. It wasn't me. But this idea that epigenetics is the study of how behavior or the environment and behaviors around us mm-hmm. affect us at a genetic level.
Yeah.
They actually change the way our DNA is read.
That's so bizarre.
It shifts our genetics. Right. Yeah. yeah. And I mean, you see it, right? Like from its basic example, we get colder than someone that lives in Alaska. Mm-hmm. Sure. We oftentimes get hotter quicker than someone that lives in Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, like, or, you know, it's just the nature of the environment in which they've become accustomed to.
Right.
Like bring, you know, you take someone who lives in the heat dead of Florida into a house that's 68 degrees and they're like, they're freezing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just the nature of where they are. And it goes deeper, like, take negative people. What is it about a negative person that can find the other negative person in a room?
Right.
That when you discover their life, you find out that they are surrounded by other negative people.
Yeah.
You ever met a negative person and it turns out their mom's negative? Uh-huh. Their grandmother's negative?
You're right.
Their yeah. dad's negative. You know what I mean? Or yeah. happy. Or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, there's something about, like, you know, when you're, like, people say I'm a lot like my dad. Like, that's not coincidence.
Right.
And it's not even necessarily an internal thing that I was just born with, per se. Mm-hmm. But it is about the environment in which I grew up in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's hard because, and we joke about this all the time, about how different your family of origin was growing up than mine.
Right.
We come from yeah. vastly different families.
Right.
You know what I mean? Different ways of thinking about things, different things. You know, we always make the joke, but like, you know, y'all grew up a Seinfeld family. right. You know, y'all grew up watching Seinfeld. That was your show.
Yeah.
And it's like, it sounds funny, but it is a thing.
Absolutely.
it ends up influencing your humor, mm-hmm. how you see the world, how you see, you know what I mean? And so something about the environments in which we choose to put ourselves in begin to change us at a genetic level.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into every aspect of our lives. And so when we, it's funny because we often believe science and Christianity are at war with each other.
Right.
I talked about this Sunday. But the reality is that they actually, when really we get down to the roots of it,
mm-hmm.
are completely connected.
Yeah.
And they're always proving, we're either proving them right or they're proving us right.
Right.
And, you know, we've always used the like statement in Christianese, like what you behold, you become.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true.
Yeah.
What you behold, you become like.
Mm-hmm.
And so corporate worship makes me like Christ in ways I can't quantify.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not done at an external level. It's done at a genetic level.
Right.
And so there's something about me genetically that becomes more like Christ the more I realize or the more I am engaged in beholding him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to do that in private and we need to do that corporately
mm-hmm.
where I have time where I behold the Lord.
Yeah.
And the more I look at his face, the more it resembles mine now or vice versa. I say that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things, you're right. It's not surprising in the sense that like, how could that be? But it is like,
right.
like, whoa, like
right.
that's crazy.
It is.
That it's, you're right. Yeah. It's not just, it does affect the behavior, but that's not the, it affects the behavior because it affects the internals and the,
right.
and the genetics.
Yeah. Well, and anyone that actually has a spiritual rhythm, anyone that actually has a rule of life and practices spiritual disciplines, not occasionally, but actually
yeah.
is a believer in layman's terms. Yeah. When something happens in your day and like your alarm doesn't, I've had days where like my power goes out, my alarm doesn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got to get up and go.
Sure.
Or something happens, a kid throws up, kid's sick, throws off your rhythm. You don't do any of your discipline. You don't do any of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That happens for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days. You're different and you know it.
Sure.
You know it in here.
Sure.
You feel rushed. You feel anxious.
Mm-hmm.
You feel more angry.
Yep.
You feel more like, I notice it with my wife all the time. A great way for me to know, like if something is not right, as I get a real, like unsaved Noah has a pretty short fuse.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And not with like anger, more with just annoyance.
Sure.
And so I know in myself when someone's chewing wrong, you know what I mean? And I want to tape their mouth shut. You know what I mean? Not just Bailey, but anybody. You know what I mean? I know there's something I need to fix here.
Sure.
And, you know, sitting in traffic's the same. Like when I, you know, have visions of pulling someone out of their car and throwing them in a ditch and just leaving and burning their car down. But we all are aware that the lack of time I spend here changes me here in ways that I can't quantify,
mm-hmm.
but I know that I'm different in a negative way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the same, you know, it's the same is too in the reverse, that the more I'm in his presence,
mm-hmm.
the more I'm changed into him.
Right.
And it is a never ending source to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something about it that like you are aware and people would be lying to say like you're aware when you're not in it
mm-hmm.
and how it's changing and now affecting you negatively.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an easier thing to quantify sometimes.
It is. I would say that probably the best way to not know that that's true is to not like give it a real shot, like building a lifestyle out of,
yeah.
of like being disciplined and
right.
practicing the disciplines.
Yeah.
Because I'll never know if I'm different, if I don't go in the first
yes.
place.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. Yeah. And most of the cravings we have about our personality and life are behind the door of formation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a quieter person. I want to be a calmer person. I want to be more peaceful. I want to be more loving. It's behind formation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're right. You want to find out what it's like to change genetically. get in the spiritual disciplines, get in the formation, get into worship.
Yeah. Make it a lifestyle.
Yeah. It changes you.
Yeah. And this isn't, you and I kind of joked about this, and this is something people do, not just with spiritual things, but just with a lot of different things in life. It could be with parenting, with, you know, but a lot of times people will hear something. Oh, this is something like, this is a good thought. Like, I want to try this. And they'll try it once. They'll try it twice. And they're like, well, it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
What do you mean it didn't work for
right.
you?
Yeah. Yeah. All the time. People say it about their babies. Well, we tried this with our baby. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, your baby's like 2 weeks old. So I don't think your baby has like opinions or preferences yet. I just think they're trying to survive.
Yeah.
And you've got to tell them what their preferences are going to be.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. And I think people do that in a lot of ways. But there's something about allowing, and it takes longer.
Yeah.
It's in the long path, as you would put it.
Yep.
But, you know, being willing to give something a shot for more than just like once or twice, but actually build a lifestyle out of it.
Right.
Try to build a habit system out of it. And see what happens over long term.
Well, and I think too, and we can see the flip side of the coin of this with people who are addicted only to worship culture. And it's because they have no discipline. They have no intimacy.
Sure.
And so this is how they're getting their fix.
Yeah.
Right. And so on one end, we've got a group of people that really don't practice worship or corporate worship at all.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we have the people who are like, I just wish no one preached. I wish we didn't do anything else but come in here and worship.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's because you have no personal encounter. Right? Like there's this thing of your spirit is so hungry for something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only place it's getting it. But let that show you the power of what it does.
Right.
That addiction comes out of a real power of what mm-hmm. worship can be.
Yeah.
Like everyone, you know what it's like when you go to church and like no one ends up preaching, it ends up being a 2-hour worship service, and everyone's like, that was amazing. Greatest thing I've ever been. It's like, yeah, because there was an atmosphere here that you don't taste very often.
Mm.
And you need to taste it more in your home,
sure.
in your secret place, in your prayer closet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so there's this weird balance of like, hey, like this changes us, but it's also, if you're that hungry for it, you need to get it also into your personal life.
Yeah.
And being a worshiper, just like prayer is a lifestyle. Like in the way that we move from a prayer life to a life of prayer, we move from operating in a time of worship to being a worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when we come in, and that way when people see us, whether at Be Love or anywhere else, they understand like, oh, this person, like, here's an example. It would be very easy for anyone that's very close to me to know that, like, oh, this guy just about worships Disney. You could talk to me about Disney World, anything Disney.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I grew up as a Disney kid. Like, we went to Disney World my whole life.
Yeah.
And because of the natural language of my mouth, the way sometimes there's stickers on things, the way I dress or the way I talk or the way mm-hmm. I post. It's not a long stretch to go, I think this guy really kind of worships Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You could make that, you could joke with that phrase.
Yeah.
And is my often thing is the same thing said about the Lord, like, man, like this guy, he worships the Lord. It's a bit much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is that a true statement though for myself?
Yeah.
You know, because we have to be seen as people that genuinely like worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And not like the fun song way, but like worship him.
Yeah. I have a question about that. Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
And then we'll come back to that.
Great.
Looking for the perfect Airbnb getaway? Look no further than Maggie's Place, your ticket to an unforgettable stay in Sevierville, Tennessee. Nestled in the heart of the stunning Smoky Mountains, Maggie's Place is not just an Airbnb, it's an experience you won't want to miss. This charming 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome offers all the comforts of home with a touch of Tennessee charm. Imagine waking up to the serene beauty of the mountains, sipping your morning coffee on the porch, and planning your day of adventures in the Smokies. And the best part is, Maggie's Place is just minutes away from all the attractions, dining, and entertainment that Sevierville has to offer. not to mention close to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Ready to make your Smoky Mountain dreams come true? Visit Maggie's Place on Airbnb today to book your stay and start creating unforgettable memories. For more information, contact Kim Balistrieri at 770-548-0902.
And we're back.
Awesome.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to worship, I think I'm wondering if there is a, in a sense, almost a broader definition of what worship can mean or what it can be than,
yeah,
than maybe often we, because I think there's a tendency for us to assume that worship means we sing songs.
Right.
When I'm wondering, like, I kind of look at like the scope of our lives. And if I'm going to create a lifestyle out of worship, I'm considering the possibility that anything that is done with a heart to love and honor the Lord can be worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the way, like the way we play with our kids,
mm-hmm,
the way we take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, the way we love our spouse. I think that all of those things can be worship to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and in the same sense, they're all about bringing the kingdom to earth. So
right.
They are.
Because you're bringing, yeah.
And I think the same too, like when we talk about, that's so true. Because when we talk about the idea about like being a house of worship, it also plays in the other way that what would people say that you worship if it's not the Lord and you're a part of Belove?
Right. And don't assume for a second that you can live your life without worshiping something.
Yeah.
Because you worship something.
You worship something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like let your income be cut by $5,000 and see what you worship.
Yeah.
Because it's most likely money.
Right.
When you begin to panic and freak out and the money's not there and this is not there and that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like let your, you know, anything in our lives can be end up becoming worship if we don't watch ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I have to, as an adult, I have had to like self and re-regulate myself with sports.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like I grew up like a sports fan.
Yeah.
I don't watch sports casually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I cry and I scream and I, you know, break televisions. Like that's how I grew up watching sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was the passion of my life.
Right.
And especially when you're not, you know, like in seasons of my life where I was not serving the Lord, you need something to give your life meaning.
Yeah.
That's not how most people are.
Yeah.
And you know, for most men, that's sports.
Yeah.
And it was my meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd listen, I mean, still sometimes I get caught up, especially before like a season starts, like listen 3 or 4 sports podcasts a day.
Sure.
And you realize very quickly, like, oh man, like all my clothes are this team. All I talk about is this team.
Mm-hmm.
My car has stickers for this team. My thing has this.
My thoughts are consumed.
My emotions.
Yeah.
My state.
Mm-hmm.
I always make jokes with Bailey. The Toronto Maple Leafs were just in the playoffs. And I always joke with her like, hey, I was like, you know, we're in a playoff game, so you may want to go stay at your mom's house tonight, like as a joke. You know, like you may want to leave the house. And I'm joking, but there's this reality of like, you can get caught up in worshiping anything.
Yeah.
And so when we think about being a house of worship, a house of worshipers, is the model of our lives worshiping the Lord? Do we do things unto worshiping the Lord?
Right.
And there's a way to enjoy sports, life, family, that is worship unto the Lord if done through the heart of thankfulness.
Sure.
Most days I am astonished at the house the Lord has blessed me with, mm-hmm, and the wife and the son and the, you know what I mean? And so I worship him.
Right.
And I do celebrate those things and I'm engaged in those things. And in the back of my brain, it's worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the other day I was, I was in my office and I was reading the scriptures and I'm just kind of reading and I could tell Bailey and Benjamin were waking up. I had my door open and I could kind of hear them. And I could tell she needed like to go use the restroom and kind of do all that stuff. And so I hear her like put on the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Benjamin's in his little lounger thing, and I can just hear this going on. I can picture, I know he's on the bed in this thing. Mm-hmm. I know she's doing her things, and I hear this song, the intro song playing, and I'm overwhelmed with thankfulness and worship to the Lord of what I have.
Yeah.
That this echoing of this cartoon is playing in my house. And there's this moment of like, I just worship you, Lord. Like, what a beautiful,
yeah.
I have a son and a wife, and mm-hmm. he's healthy, and he's, you know, listen, watching cartoons, which is hopefully bringing, you know, him some joy. And, you know, Bailey's getting to do her. And my house is just filled with a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's filled with love. And there's just like, how can you not worship him?
Yeah.
Because no matter what, all good things come from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All good things.
Yeah.
And so there's just these moments where you're right. Everything in our life can become a form of worship in a good and a bad way.
Right.
And when I love my wife, when I, you know, like I just redid my patio too, my back patio, and I'm sitting back there, and all I know to do is worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's his.
Yeah.
And you're just like, thank you. Like, I just worship. I say to my, Bailey makes fun of me because I kind of talk to myself under my breath, but it's just, I just, like, Lord, I worship you. I can't believe mm-hmm. I have this.
Yeah.
Knowing my life and where I come from and the things I've done to self-sabotage my own self and my own existence,
mm-hmm.
to know that this is where I am.
Right.
And have these things.
Yeah.
Like, you get filled to the brim with worship, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, like, that's what people are hungry for.
Yeah.
Is to not even just worship from the aspect of a corporate nature, but even to see people be able to enjoy their things through worshiping the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we've probably talked a lot about this. I've heard your dad talk a lot about this, but the role of gratitude in our lives is something that I hope we never underestimate.
Yeah.
Because the gratitude is probably one of the most powerful things you can do to help in the process of the renewal of the mind.
Yeah.
Is practicing gratitude.
Yep.
It'll shift the way you view everything in your life.
Yeah. And it's a form of worship.
It is a form
gratitude
of worship.
Gratitude is a form of worship.
Yeah.
Just like thankfulness is a form of of worship.
The that shift from, because I think it can be easy getting caught up in life in the pursuit of everything that you don't have.
Yeah.
It's a really easy thing to get caught up in.
Mm-hmm.
I wish my house looked like this. I wish my car looked like this. I wish this. I wish my finances, you know.
Yeah.
And there's this reality. There's this reality that I think one of the greatest things we can do for our minds is to practice thanking the Lord for what you have right now.
Mm.
You can believe and you can expect that he'll continue to give and you'll continue to grow and that it's okay to have desires. It's okay to want, you know, a certain kind of house and a car. That's not an issue. The problem is when I am so consumed with my desire for what I want that I am unable to look and do like a reality check and to be thankful and practice gratitude for what the Lord has done for me right now, here in this moment.
And enjoy it.
Yes.
Like at the end of the day, every once in a while on a whim, I'll go look on Zillow at houses.
Sure.
But when your whole day is spent looking at houses that aren't your own.
Right.
You're worshiping something.
Uh-huh.
You're worshiping a thing that you don't have.
Yeah.
And you're consuming your life with it.
Right.
And you can get caught up in saying, oh, it's just not. It's not. Because in the back of your head, you're thinking, man, I wish I could buy that. I wish I have it. And there's this envy.
Yep.
There's this greed building up, right? Mm-hmm. There's this lack of contentness. And instead of going, let me just rest in my place.
Mm-hmm.
Let me enjoy what I have. You're right. Like to be grateful and be thankful to look around and go, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the most monumental thing that I could, you know what I mean? Like I my family of origin is not wealth.
Sure.
You know, like my great grandparents, like were not wealthy at all.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents were not wealthy at all on both sides.
Right.
You know, like my parents, you know, grew up in apartments early on when they had me, or or renting a house, renting an apartment, a nice trailer, like all those things. Like now me and my sister own homes.
Yeah.
Like right. We own homes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could go back and tell, like even say my parents that 30 years ago.
Right.
When you're living in an apartment in a small city in Eastern Canada,
mm-hmm.
that your children will own their own homes
yeah.
in their 20s.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and you can get lost in worshiping the things that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
In such a worship of idolatry of like, I need.
Yeah.
And not going, oh my God.
Yeah.
Father, like I worship you because this is all because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at the lineage of my family and my life, it you've always been doing this
mm-hmm.
for us.
Right.
And we can lose that. And when we lose that, we get caught in worshiping everything but the Lord.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think another thing that gratitude does is it helps in the process of building trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm unwilling or unable to recognize the goodness of the Lord in my present circumstances, I'm going to have even less ability to look into the future and assume goodness.
Yeah.
If I can't see goodness now, I'm probably not expecting goodness
right.
to come.
That's so good.
You know?
Yep.
And so there's this aspect where gratitude for what you have will develop this heart posture in you to where you are actively recognizing the goodness of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it continues to build trust, because I know that if you've been good for me now, I know that you'll continue to be good for me in the future.
Yes.
And you're able to walk into yep. every season with a lens of gratitude for where you've been and for yep. where he's brought you
yep.
and knowing that he'll continue bringing you
yeah.
where you need to
and
go.
And that trust goes both ways.
Yeah.
Because when he can trust you to be grateful and thankful for what you have,
yeah.
he'll entrust you with more because he trusts you.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like in the natural, like as a parent,
yeah.
like it's very hard for me to give Nora something she wants when I know she's done a very poor job at stewarding
what I've given her already.
You know?
Yeah, there's a lack of, and most people yeah. get the most large prophetic words of like, oh my God, you're going to do this and you're going to be that. And you're going to, it's like, oh my Lord. And they go around going, God, I hate this house. God, I hate these cars. Right. God, I hate these kids.
Yeah.
I hate my job. Yeah. I hate this.
Yeah.
It's like, and there's, you would do anything to just, you don't care for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's like, you don't even.
Right.
How can I trust you with more?
Right. If you're not faithful with the little.
Yes. Because if there's no gratitude for what you have, you'll never be grateful for anything.
Right.
Ever.
Because no matter what you have, there will always be something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because a million will turn into needing five.
Sure.
In income.
Yeah.
5 million will turn into needing 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you don't get 10, you'll go, Lord, I can't believe you've done this to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you look back and you haven't had gratitude for any of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like me and Bailey have a dream house in our head that we want to build and yeah. things, but like not at the cost of being grateful for what I have.
Right.
And grateful from the place that if this is all I have had, I know it's what you have for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm great with that.
Yeah.
I love my little house.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a place where, and that's what brings people to hunger for the Lord, is when they come into your home, in your life, in your circle of influence, and you have gratitude and worship on your lips for your existence.
Yeah.
When you're not the one complaining about everything around you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to me sucks the life out of the room than walking in and someone going, man, the country's like this and everything is like this and I hate this and the economy is like this and everything. Well, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It just sucks the life out of your existence.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then like you get this like it's like a small drop of water in a desert when you get around someone's like, how you doing? I'm like, great, great. My wife's doing good. Work's going well. My mm-hmm. kids are great. You're like, yeah, but what's wrong? And you're waiting for it, you know? And it's like, yeah. there's nothing. And there's this gratitude. And you're thinking like, man, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
I want to be happy.
Right.
I want to enjoy my things and my life. And like, that is being like a worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's gratitude.
Yeah.
It's just different.
It is different.
And that's what leads men, like the goodness, the kindness of the Lord sometimes is shown through your kindness and gratitude in your own life. And that can lead men to repentance itself.
Yeah.
The what the kindness and the blessings the Lord has shown you through worship can lead men to go, I want whatever this is.
Right.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Yeah. Good. Well, I think that's about all the time we've got for this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great. This is, you know, we talked predominantly most about this Sunday, but I think it can't be said enough.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just some discussional conversation around it too.
Yeah, I agree. Love it. Good.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Feel great.
All right.
I worship you, Brian.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Community leaders. And this always goes for everybody, but specifically if you're a community leader at Be Love Co., just be prepared to think about ways to dialogue just about worship and start exploring with your group the nature of worship and the role that it plays in your life. And what does it look like for you in your life to actively worship the Lord? And what are some ways that has manifested? And what are some ways that that maybe it hasn't yet, but we can start making, I don't know, plans and to I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say.
Sure. I would add to this too. If you're in a community this week, or if you're in communities this week, go around the room as a community leader, steward the conversation, but go around the room and talk about what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
And examine what you can come up with and be honest.
Yeah.
Don't say I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my, if you hate your house, don't say you're thankful for it. Don't lie. If you hate your car, don't say you're thankful for it.
Yeah.
You know, your car sucks. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But be honest about what you're thankful for and what you often think about being thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And go around the room and do that and examine for yourself, for the room, for your community. Like, what am I actually grateful for?
Yeah.
And if I'm not grateful for things, am I worshiping things I don't have, or am I worshiping the Lord?
Yeah.
It'd be a great activity in communities this week.
Great. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. For those who watch, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.